Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
On today's episode of One Shining Podcast, we are going to count down the top 25 and then some characters that count in the NCAA tournament. We got friend of the program, Terrence Oglesby, who's going to join us, and we're going to talk about everyone from Greg Campy to Bill Murray to Greg Sankey to Steve Alford to Ian Eagle, everybody in between. It's going to be a fun show. And Terrence, we appreciate him joining the show and breaking this all down with us. He's going to be in Vegas as well for the first round of games. We'll be there, myself, producer Kyle, cousin Sal, Harry from Against All Odds. So we're going to have a great crew down there. And again, appreciate Terrence coming on the show to do this and to break it all down. It is March Madness. We have games tonight. We got Howard taking on Wagner. We got Virginia taking on Colorado State. So it is going to be a fun night. We finally get college basketball. The madness is here. But before we get there, we wanted to break down and count down all the many characters in college basketball, specifically in this tournament, that count to us. We're very excited to break it all down. But first, Woody Durham.
It's like the timeout.
Welcome back to One Shining Podcast. It is the best time of the year. We are in the throes of March Madness, and joining us today to break down the top 25 and a few more characters in college basketball, he's a friend of the program, Terrence Oglesby. Terrence, good to see you, man.
Man, great to see you. Hopefully one day I could be added to the list of crazy people that you're about to put on this list. So I'm fired up about it. Thank you for having me on. This might be my favorite episode of the year.
Yeah, we love characters in college basketball. Of course, Bruce Pearl famously from a side ditch said to us, the character counts, and we have taken that, extrapolated it out to characters count in college basketball. And you mentioned it. I mean, a lot of times there are a lot of characters in college basketball media. John Fanta, someone you work with, John Rothstein, a lot of people that we love. Bill Raftery, obviously, from the old guard. But we're not going to get too much into the weeds of the media, guys, because that would be its own separate characters list. And sure, we don't have all the time in the world to do this. But we do have some time to throw out some honorable mentions. So we'll start with the first one, Josh Hubbard of Mississippi State. He is an honorable mention character, a guy that you need to keep an eye on, who could make a run in the first round. It's always tough with these characters. We don't know how far they're going to go in the tournament. So Josh Hubbard, one of those guys. Next up, Pat Kelsey's kid, the head coach of College of Charleston. Have you seen Pat Kelsey's kid at the end of the bench? And what are your thoughts on him and his potential to make Nate Oates have a tough day?
I love that kid. First of all, I did a couple of College of Charleston games for CBS Sports Network, and it was awesome. Right. And that kid goes out there and he warms up with the team. If not right before the game, he participates in shoot around and goes against the managers. He's got some moxie. The kid has moxie. Mm. He's going to bring the heat. And I think Charleston might end up winning their first round game, which is, could you imagine? He's going to be front and center with everything. He's going to be afraid. The kid's electric.
Let's be honest. He's waving goodbye to Nate Oates in Alabama. There's no doubt about that. So Pat Kelsey's kid, you're an honorable mention. You're on the list. Tony Bennett, the head coach of Virginia, he's on the list. We don't know how far he's going to go. They get a standalone game in Dayton tonight, which the committee, shout out to them for making sure everybody watches Virginia play basketball. So Tony Bennett, shout out to you. Trev Alberts, who is the former AD of Nebraska, is now going to be the new AD at A&M. Nebraska plays A&M in the first round. So we're calling this the Trev Alberts game. He's an honorable mention. KD Johnson from Auburn. He is one of one. That is the way he's described. Can you give us a little background on KD Johnson and what he brings to Auburn?
I love him so much. And the thing is like he's such a team first kid that he just came off the bench and didn't really think twice about it. He's a perfect Bruce Pearl guy. I've said this for 2 years. KD Johnson runs on nightmare fuel. Because he's crazy. He's in your face. He's talking trash to the other team. He's talking trash to Bruce. He's talking trash to the media members in row two. Like he is all over the joint. There's two guys like him in college basketball. One, KD Johnson. The other one's Jalen House. Those guys are lightning rods. Jalen House from New Mexico. They're lightning rods. They're energy. And they bring every ounce of themselves on the court. It is awesome to watch. KD Johnson runs on nightmare fuel, trademark Terrence Oglesby. There you go.
Yeah, trademark it there. And I will say KD Johnson is one of those guys who will be in the one shiny moment. I don't know how, I don't know what it's going to be, but he will either be crying tears of joy or tears of pain. But regardless, he will be one of those guys who is emotionally affected by March Madness. Shout out to KD Johnson. Five more honorable mentions. Coleman Hawkins at Illinois. He's a guy who has had a great year, can get you a triple-double. Kind of like a guy that is a point forward, I guess is probably the best way to describe him. So Coleman Hawkins there, he's been trolling some people throughout the year, Maryland in particular. So I feel like this is a tournament where we might see some Coleman Hawkins, especially if Illinois can get past the first round. Lamont Paris, the head coach of South Carolina, you know him very well. He's an honorable mention. It's a tough matchup in the first round, but a great year for Lamont Paris, all in all, with the Gamecocks.
Yeah, he's doing it with the SoCon All-Stars, which is kind of crazy because every guy that's on that roster right now spent some time in the Southern Conference at one point or another. He's done a terrific job, an older, really talented bunch, and they have Colin Murray Boyles, who reminds me a lot of Trevor Booker. Very similar in what they do.
Yeah, and if he comes back for another year, I mean, he's a guy that could be, SEC Player of the Year caliber guy. So we'll see what happens with South Carolina. Three more honorable mentions. Steve Alford, he said that he is coaching for an audience of one. Nevada has lost their last three tournament games. They're trying to get over the hump. So Steve Alford, obviously someone we all know from the 1987 Indiana run. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, who says he wants to expand the tournament. He is a character. A lot of people have turned against him during this run. And the last honorable mention is LeBron's head coach from high school, Keith Dambrot, who is the coach of Duquesne right now. He just announced his retirement. This is going to be Keith Dambrot's last dance. They will be playing BYU in the first round. And Drew Joyce, who is LeBron's teammate, is an assistant coach and is expected to take over after Keith Dambrot. So LeBron James will be pulling for Duquesne. There are your honorable mentions. Now let's get into the top 25 plus a few guys. Number one, the number one character you need to know, the most tenured coach in college basketball. He's coaching at Oakland. He was serving food at a McDonald's during the year to raise money for the program. He is Greg Campy, one of the best characters in college basketball, and he plays Kentucky in the first round. What should we know about Greg Campy?
Greg Campy got the job at Oakland 5 years before I was born, and I'm not young.
Yeah.
And I'm not young. And he just kind of continues to work what he does up in Oakland. And the first thing, I read a story, Matt Norlander's been on fire over the last 3 weeks.
He has.
Great stuff. He has been on fire. He did a story on Campy, and Campy's like, I'm not moving to California. When he went up and interviewed for Oakland, he's like, I had no idea. And he said for the next 40-something-odd years, he's been trying to convince people there is an Oakland in Michigan, which is where he's at now and where he's been for a long time. It's amazing. I don't think we'll ever see that again outside of maybe John Shire. I think John Shire will be a Duke for 40-plus years. Outside of that, guys, I don't know where it's going to happen. I really don't. It's a pretty special thing, and it's not something that we're going to be able to see all that much more.
Yeah, these are lifers in college basketball, and more it does feel like we get the 7-year turnover type deals. So Greg Campy is one of one, and a great story. And who knows? I mean, there's a lot of people that think that Oakland has a better shot than most to upset Kentucky in the first round. If he does that on the way out, it's a very Pete Carril Princeton type moment where, he's on the way out and everybody enjoys it. Not to say Greg Campy's going to retire, but 40 years. Next up, we got the Nepo Ballers. Richard Pitino is the son of Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino is not in the tournament, but Richard is with New Mexico. He also has two Nepo ballers on his team, Jalen House, the lightning rod that you mentioned before, Jamal Mashburn Jr., Monster Mash. He doesn't look like Jamal, but he shoots like Jamal. And then we also got Jameer Nelson Jr. Yes, that is right. Jameer Nelson Jr., his son is at TCU playing for Jamie Dixon. So a lot of second generation ballers in this tournament. So do we just want to highlight them as the Nepo ballers? Which one are you most excited about? I feel like everyone's talking about Jalen House right now.
It's Jalen House, the point blank period. That dude is awesome. I did the Mountain West tournament, and they went from the first day to the final day, and he was competitive in all four games. You want to talk about somebody? He's one of the quickest players in college basketball, cat quick. And Brian Dutcher talked about it after their championship game. He said, you know, his body type allowed him to play four games at that tenacity. If he was this big, burly dude, he wouldn't be able to do it. I've never seen anybody. He falls six times a game where I'm thinking something's shattered and like nothing happens. He is as good as there is at getting in the passing lanes, the current leader in steals per game in the nation. He's so much fun to watch. And God, it's given me heartburn. Just Clemson, New Mexico in round one, because I love both teams. And this team, the Nepo Baller Deluxe, if you will, is going to be interesting. And not only that, Nelly Jr. Joseph, who's the five man for New Mexico, played for Rick last year.
Right.
So he moves from Rick Pitino to Richard Pitino. And there's a lot going on with that squad as far as that's concerned. Jamal was much better in their championship game because he got to create a little bit off the bounce. And they have a guy named Donovan Dent who's not a Nepo Baller, but New Mexico's scary, man. They're scary.
Yeah, they got great guard play, and I do feel bad for your Clemson Tigers. It does feel like everybody is on New Mexico to upset them in this first game, which I think might be a good thing, by the way. I mean, PJ Hall, Ian Sheffield, I like the front court of Clemson, and that might be the mismatch, but we both know that guard play is big in the tournament, and they got three great guards. And Donovan Dent played with Jared McCain in high school, so there's a nice little connection there. Next up, we got Dan Monson and the Long Beach State Beach.
How about that?
Double Beach. Dan Monson gets him in the tournament, gets fired. They call him the outgoing head coach. Now he gets to play a guy that he hired as a grad assistant in Tommy Lloyd in a 215 game that I'm sure Tommy Lloyd was not happy to see on the board. What do we think about Sahonis and this Beach team? Could we get an upset again of a 15-2 over Arizona?
No. The answer is no. However,
I like the narrative.
Yeah, the answer is no. I love the story. Really cool that he hired Tommy Lloyd as a GA. Really cool story. No, that's not going to happen. And I'm a big fan of beaches, but not this particular beach at this particular time.
Yeah, I like that they won their conference tournament. It's a great story. Yeah. And Dan Monson
is a really cool story. Yeah.
Yeah, is a great basketball coach. And he's done some great interviews out here on local TV. Like, he literally had the news crew come to his house and they're just interviewing him. He's wearing slippers. And I'm like, that's my kind of head coach. That's the leader of men that we like to see. Next up, we got the DeVries family. We know that March Madness, we love father-son combinations. That is something that goes back, all the way in time. I mean, the Drew family is a perfect example of that. They're the ones that we usually typically talk about. This year, we got Darian DeVries, Tucker DeVries, with Drake, a 10 seed. Do we expect Darian and Tucker to make a run this March? And how do we like that matchup against Wazoo in the first round?
I actually really like that matchup for them to win that game. And then you have a battle for Iowa in the next round, them against Iowa State, which would be wildly intriguing. Tucker DeVries can play. And I think that's the big thing that kind of gets lost. Whenever you get a coach's kid that's, I think he was a top 100 kid or something, ends up going to Drake and he can kind of do what he wants and play with that freedom, they're going to be dangerous. So, Miles Rice, great story at Wazoo, the whole thing. But all of that being said, I think Drake gets that game and then they get to play the team down the road.
Yeah, Wazoo's best offense is missed shots and offensive rebounding. Drake clears the boards and they get defensive rebounds. Right. So I think that'll be a big part of this game. But shout out to the DeVries family. We'll be talking about them, I'm sure. Another guy, a big man that you and I know very well because of our ACC ties, DJ Burns. He has a Cinderella run where he is a balling ballerina all the way to the ACC tournament championship. And now he is an 11 seed playing in the NCAA tournament. What do we think about Beast Boy Burns? How excited are you to see him go against Texas Tech?
The first time I watched him play last year, or I watched him play at Winthrop, but seeing him play at NC State, I remember talking to Joel Justice at NC State. And I was like, man, how's that going to fit with your guys? Because it's kind of a weird thing. Like, he's a lumbering big that can't really move, and you're going to play with all these athletes and stuff. That's going to be a weird thing. He's like, yeah, we're going to have to change something up, but I think he'll be good for us. I was like, okay, we'll see. Watched him play one time. Guys are cutting without him. He posts up at the 3-point line and Barkley's his big ass all the way down to the block. Mm-hmm. And like then, like he's a load to stop. I called him this last year and I've stuck with it. He's a walking refrigerator with ballerina feet. That's mm-hmm. what he is. He reminds me of the refrigerator Perry. Like he's that wide. He's that big. He's 6'10". Forget about it. You're not going to guard him. You just hope that somebody can post, like square him up and then you can block shots over the top. But he's so good at understanding positioning and double teams that like he passes out of there really well and he passes it off the bounce. Like not an easy guy to defend, not an easy guy to game plan for, like especially if they're hitting shots from the perimeter. NC State's a load, which I mean we've seen 5 games in 5 days. That's some legendary stuff.
And you gotta basically press NC State. You gotta do what they're doing to you and try to speed the game up as best you can to try to get him off the court. But like you said, Carolina doubled him early and he made them pay, and the rest was history, and they ended up winning that tournament championship game. So DJ Burns, he's gonna be fun to watch. If you're a casual fan, just look for number 30 on NC State. You will have a fun time trying to sift through how he does what he does. Because he's got great touch too. I mean, he's just one of those guys that got great feel for the game.
He hit his first three of his career.
Yeah, right. All right, yeah. DJ Burns, watch out for him. Number 25, here we go. Dana Altman, head coach of Oregon. He's got a matchup, like we said, with South Carolina, but he has a chance to go up against his Creighton Blue Jays, a little Dana Altman redemption game there with Oregon and Creighton. That could be a fun one. Dana Altman, what do we think about this Oregon team? Do we think that they can make a run? Just won the Pac-12 championship.
I thought coming into this year, I was like, it's going to take them time because they have a lot of really talented freshmen. Jackson Shellstead, Kwame Evans, and then they've got one more, the kid who played, he played Carmelo in the LeBron remake in his high school days or whatever. I can't remember his name. Mookie. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they have some young, talented kids on that team, and it was going to take them a while. If the Pac-12 was looked at as a better league, they might have gotten consideration for an at-large, but they didn't need an at-large because they went and won the Pac-12 tournament. Those guys are really talented. I think Oregon beats South Carolina.
Yeah, Mookie Cook is who we're talking about. Shout out to Mookie Cook. Yeah. There you go. I think that's going to be a good game. Going to be a fun game. And Dante being healthy, I think, is a big deal for Oregon. And he's one of those bigs that you have to deal with. So him going against Cockburn would be a great matchup. Dana Altman, I think, will be a major storyline. Next up, we got Augustus Marshallonis, the son of Sarunas Marshallonis, the man who invented the Euro step. And it's basically Marshallonis and Aiden Mahaney. I call them M&M. I like that backcourt out there with St. Mary's. They're a lot of fun, very disciplined team. They got a tough matchup in round one, but I feel like a lot of people are going to put the pieces together that we got the Marshallonis family playing college basketball out there with St. Mary's and Randy Bennett. How do we feel about St. Mary's in this backcourt?
Their backcourt's really good. I had the chance to do their game early this year when they played Boise State and Idaho Falls, and it was cold as balls up there, but that's beside the point. Like those guys are really freaking good. And Marshallonis, it's amazing. And I was talking to Randy Bennett about this. It's amazing how much, like if you really watch the game, how much the players resemble their father in their movements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just how they're back and forth.
Sabonis has this a little bit. Domantas Sabonis, right? You would see some moments where he passes out a double team or finds somebody and you're like, wow, that looks just like your dad.
Exactly. And Marshallonis has the same thing when he puts his shoulder on guys and just bullies his way in. And then he'll use a Euro step at like the last minute. My only scary part about St. Mary's for me is the fact that they don't shoot free throws worth a darn. And whenever you are in the NCAA tournament and you're in these middle seeds, it's going to be close games. You're going to have to hit free throws. They're one of the worst in college basketball at that. So that worries me. We'll see how it goes with St. Mary's, but it's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, and I think Grand Canyon and St. Mary's, you can make the argument they could be Elite Eight teams if they didn't get the draw that they got. And that's typically how it goes. There's usually teams that we all really like in that 6-11, 5-12 range that unfortunately have to play each other in the first round. So one example of that. Next one, number 23, we got Bucky McMillan and the Samford Bulldogs. A lot of people are predicting this upset over Kansas. I'm not sure I'm quite there, but what are your thoughts on Samford and the idea that Bucky Ball could make some noise in the first round against Kansas?
The game's being played at altitude, which favors the deeper squad. Samford is deep.
Right.
They play 10.
And they press.
And they press the whole time. So they're gonna be pressing, playing 10 in Salt Lake City at altitude, where I think it might be a little bit uncomfortable for Kansas. That all being said, they still have DeJuan Harris. who's the most reliable winner in college basketball. So we'll see how that goes. Kansas is really limping into this one. This has not been a great season for Jayhawk Nation relative to what they've done. And everything is relative, right? I mean, if there were other teams that made the tournament as a four seed, like people would be jumping for joy. But this is Kansas. The expectations are a little bit different. And I feel like the depth of Samford might get him. Achora is a bad boy. And Jermaine Marshall's a tough-as-nails four-man who can guard multiple positions. They do a lot of really, really good things down at Samford. I do think it's possible they get the upset because of all the ancillary factors, the elevation, how they play. It's certainly possible. And with all the injuries they've had, it's been really it's been a tough run for Kansas.
Yeah, Achora is a name that I think a lot of people are going to know. A game so nice they named him twice. So I feel like a lot of people are going to be talking about him, after this game. So we'll see about that. Number 22, it is not 2022 anymore because he called those games. Jim Nance is out and Ian Eagle is now the voice of March Madness. Very excited. We've had him on the program. He's supposed to be coming on the show next week. Great guy, but we are going to have him doing the full run of coverage, first year doing that. So let's all give him some grace. But are we excited for the new era of college basketball? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ian Eagle's very much ready. He's been one of my favorites for a long time. I think he's absolutely terrific at what he does, and he does a great job of capturing the moment. So good for him. Ian Eagle, congratulations. I hope to meet him soon.
Yeah.
I feel like I've met pretty much everybody. I have not met Ian yet.
Well, I think that's on the board. And next time I talk to him, we have on the show, I'm going to say Terrence Oglesby needs to meet you. And we'll make this connective tissue here for college basketball. We love that. Number 21, a guy that you know very well and a guy that I love very much, Willie the Kid and the Bayou Bandits. They are going to play and be a 12 seed, and they got a chance to make some real noise against Gonzaga. Willie the Kid said that Brandon Brackets, one of his assistant coaches, had already predicted in his own bracketology that they would be a 12 seed playing the 5 seed Gonzaga Bulldogs, and he had already scouted them. So he has a little bit of a leg up. That is good news for McNeese State fans. Shahade Wells is one of the guys that everybody's talking about. What do you think about Will Wade? Can he make a run? Can he make some noise in this tournament?
First of all, people have their own opinions about Will. I love Will. Will is one of my favorite guys. He you want to talk about somebody who answers every message, reaches out on special occasions. Like Will Wade's on top of it. And this is going to be a little bit of a Will Wade redemption tour. They're going to win games in this tournament, and you're going to see his name pop up. Maybe not at McNeese State, but maybe at some other big school. Somebody's going to take the jump, and Will Wade is going to win wherever he's at, even if he has to stay at McNeese another year or two. Like, if you want to win, Will Wade's the guy. And let me say this. Whoever hires Will, Will was at Clemson the year before I got to campus. So I've known Will for 15 years. Bring Will to campus. Have him interview. Have him with your press. He's going to have the media eating out of the palm of his hands. I'm telling you, like, he is an unbelievable figure. I think Will's a good guy. That's my experience with him. Other people have had other experiences. Will's awesome, and Will's going to win. I don't care what people say. He's one of my favorites. So I think they're not going to just win one game. They're going to win a couple.
And I think Will Wade is waiting for the big job. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's in any rush right now. He Schroyer, the AD down there at McNeese, is a great guy. And I think he's doing his best to take care of Will Wade. I think Will appreciates that. And I think he's having fun again. So it's good for Willie the Kid. It's good for the Bayou Bandits. Number 20, Tyon Grant Foster, GCU. One of the greatest stories in college basketball about perseverance. A guy that went to Kansas, goes to DePaul, has to get revived, comes back, had some heart issues, transfers to GCU, and has one of the best years in the conference, WAC player of the year, and a guard that I think has NBA potential. What do we think about Grand Canyon and Bryce Drew, and especially his best player, Tyon Grant Foster?
They're going to be good. Tyon Grant Foster might be a back end of the first round pick. I know he's old, but he's 6'7". He's got good length. He scores it from everywhere, and he's a really talented guy. Obviously, he's going to have to pass all of his physicals and everything like that, but talent is talent. And for him to, you know, be able to rebound after a revival, that's a different level toughness. Dude almost died. He's back here getting 20 a game. Like, he's incredible. He's really good. It's a great story.
And talk about the infrastructure, right, of Grand Canyon, where you got Jerry Colangelo behind you, you got Bryce Drew. I mean, you got a lot of basketball power players that are involved and invested in that program. So he's got good people around him. So I think Grand Canyon, unfortunately, that's a first round matchup with St. Mary's, where we're going to lose one of those storylines, you know, in the first game. But it's going to be a good one. Number 18, Bill Self is back on the sidelines. Did not coach last year in the NCAA tournament. So he has not coached an NCAA tournament game since he won the national championship in New Orleans, which is kind of crazy to think about. So Bill Self back on the sidelines. Do we think that makes a difference for the Kansas Jayhawks?
I think a lot of the things and a lot of the problems have been Bill Self, his team not being healthy enough. We came into the year mm-hmm. knowing how thin they were. Some of those guys that they brought in didn't really pan out the way a lot of people thought, including myself. I think it has less to do with Bill Self and more to do with his roster. I'm not sure they go all that far this year.
Yeah, El Marco Jackson, Nick Timberlake are kind of the two guys they were hoping were going to take the leap. I thought KJ Adams was a guy who did step up a little bit, but maybe not as much as they had hoped. I mean, he's had a solid enough year. Kevin McCullough is obviously their best player on the team. So if McCullough can be healthy and play, they're a different team. Hunter Dickinson, obviously, same sort of deal. So it'll be fascinating to see. But Kansas, a lot of people picking that upset with Bucky Balls. So that's something to watch. Number 17, talking about perseverance. You mentioned him before, Washington State's very own Miles Rice. If you haven't heard the story, battling cancer last year. Around this time in March, he found out that he was in remission. So now we cut to a year later. He is the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. He is one of the best players in the country. He is a fascinating story, a great guard. They're comparing him to Tony Parker and Steve Nash. I mean, he's got a lot of great comparisons coming his way. But what do you think about Miles Rice, Kyle Smith, and this Wazoo team?
Kyle Smith can coach his butt off, and if he has players, he's going to be able to put him in position to score and make plays. And Miles mm-hmm. Rice has been electric. What a great story that is. I can't imagine because, you know, heaven forbid, you know, a family member or something like that get cancer. It is not an easy ride to get through that and to get to remission. It's tough. And for him to be able to have that kind of toughness about him to get through that and to play well the following year, says a lot about him. And quite frankly, it says a lot about Kyle Smith to be able to get a guy that's that talented, all those looks and gear the offense around him, which is really cool.
Yeah. And his mom is a great story as well. She's been by his side the entire time. Isaac Jones was playing at Wenatchee Junior College, and now he's one of the best four men in the Pac-12. I mean, they're just a ridiculous ragtag group that's kind of been thrown together. They're like the replacements of college basketball, and they're a really fun team to watch. So shout out to Miles Rice. Number 16, everybody's talking about him. There is some rumblings that Louisville is talking to him a lot more than everybody else, but he is the head coach currently of FAU, Dusty May. He has a chance, if he can beat Northwestern, to go against UConn in the second round and make some noise again. But your thoughts on Dusty May, this FAU team, can they make magic happen again?
If they weren't playing UConn in the second round, I would say yes. The problem is they're playing UConn in the second round. UConn is about as well-rounded a team as I've ever seen. This is a well-oiled machine. They're big. They're capable. Dan Hurley is awesome. He's going to be later on the list. I feel like there's a lot with FAU, they were waiting for the postseason kind of deal. Let's be honest. If FAU's name wasn't FAU and they didn't have that run that they had last year, I'm not sure they get that seed. I'm not sure they get that seed. It's probably a lot lower. So curious to see how that plays out. I don't see them getting very far, but Dusty May's a great story and a great guy. We'll see how that goes. And I'm sure he's going to be at one of these other mega jobs next.
And if Dusty May beats UConn, let's say in that, 1-8 game, let me just say this, the price is going up. So whoever he's talking to right now, Louisville, Michigan, Washington, whoever it is that he's talking to, Louisville seems like the prevailing narrative, but the price is going to go up if he beats UConn. So that's, maybe you try to get that deal done before that game even happens. That would just be my word to the wise there. Next up, we got the young Pope. Not that one from HBO, but it's Mark Pope out there at BYU. And Mark Pope is a very fun coach, very likable coach. Obviously played at Kentucky back in the day. He's got a fun team. Ali Khalifa is a character in college basketball in and of himself. And they also are a team that shoots more threes than twos. A lot of variance with this group. What do we think about Mark Pope's team? Do we think that they can make a run out there as a 6 seed? Should have been a 5 seed, but they got switched to a 6 seed, so they don't play on Sunday.
Yeah, first of all, good on the committee for recognizing that. Another thing is they have enough shooting. Like, they don't have one guy that stand out and shoots 40%, but they got one, two, three, four, five guys that shoot above 35, which to me is huge just because you're able to space it out and get all those shots. You alluded to him, but Ali Khalifa is really good. And the crazy part is guys, he's barely even been practicing all year because he's been dealing with you know, minor injuries here and there, and he's still able to come out and be really good. I think BYU makes a run. I like this team. I like the way they space it out. And Khalifa is a terrific passer at the top of the key. I think they've got pieces, and I think the one guy that's going to, you know, step up is Jackson Robinson, who I think can really shoot it, and he really hunts him down too. He's taking 217 threes on the year. He's a nice player.
They're a fun team, and BYU Illinois would, if you just take the favorites there, if it goes chalk, that would be a fun second round game, and I think that team would give Illinois quite the test. Next up, we got Scott Drew, Baylor head coach, you know, obviously national champion back in 2021. Baylor trying to find their footing. 2022, they were a one seed. They played North Carolina. Whoever wins that game, I think, ends up going to the title game, which ended up being North Carolina. It goes to overtime. Crazy game. But Scott Drew's got a young team. Ease Meese is a fun player. Jacoby Walter. They got some guys on their team. How do we feel about Baylor as the three seed? And they're kind of under the radar heading into this tournament.
No, I think Baylor's still really good. Jacoby Walter, Ray J. Dennis, they have enough guys there that are capable of having big games. I just don't know that they guard quite well enough to make a deep enough run in the NCAA tournament. When, quite frankly, offense goes inept, there he goes ghost. So you're going to have to rely on your defense some, which is what we saw a little bit last year in last year's tournament. You got to have a strong defense. You got to play through contact. And I'm not sure Baylor can do that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Let's talk about Scott Drew's pickleball partner, Mark Few. Mark Few's good men. One of his good men is Ryan Nimhard. And there is a chance. Everyone's talking about the Caleb Love redemption game. There is a chance if the Midwest breaks the right way, the Gonzaga could play Creighton in the Elite Eight, where we get Ryan Nimhard going up against his old team with his old trio of stars. What do we think about Gonzaga? Obviously a tough draw in that first round going up against Will Wade. But if they are able to make a run, Ryan Nimhard's going to be a big part of it. And we might get a whole storyline about Ryan Nimhard going up against his old team. Do we see a path where that could be possible?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Gonzaga's been so good for so long. You're bound to have years to where it's just not quite up to your normal level. There is no Drew Timmy. There is no Chet Holmgren. There is no Jalen Suggs on this team.
It's a bunch of B guys, Corey right? Kisper. B plus guys. You know what I mean? It's like Graham Ike, I like the player. Ben Gregg, I like the player. Anton Watson, I like the player. But yeah, it's not that next level of guy. But maybe that helps. Agree. You know what I mean? They don't have the depth, though, I feel like. That's my problem with this team.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's just who's the lottery pick or who's the national player of the year? There's not one. And there's a bunch of good players. I agree with that. So I don't know. We'll see. I feel like McNeese has Shahada Wells, which is about as good a player as you're going to find in this tournament. He just has slipped under the radar.
And how many teams have already been scouting the team that they're going to play in the tournament ahead of time? Only, Brandon Brackets and Will Wade. So there you go. We talked about Baylor, the team. Let's talk about Baylor Shireman at Creighton. He has had an incredible year. First team All Big East. He can do everything. He can shoot the three. He can get guys involved. He can steal. He can do anything that you need on a basketball court. Three-level scorer. Do we think Baylor Shireman, Headband Baylor, can become a household name during this run of March Madness?
Dude, Baylor stopped wearing a headband halfway through Big East.
Yeah.
I
still call him Headband Baylor, though. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like it's kind of built in. You know, it's like when LeBron took the headband off. It's like we still all see it. You know what I mean? I still feel it deep in my loins.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. You feel LeBron's headband deep in your loins.
I can see it in there. You know what I mean? It's like etched in there. I don't need to see it. I just know it's there.
Gotcha. No, Baylor's awesome, first of all. This Creighton team, I feel like they're being a little bit undervalued. It's crazy. They're the top 25 defense in college basketball, yet they don't force turnovers at all. They have the best defensive five men in college basketball, who, quite frankly, not just Shireman's not just good, but he boards, he shoots, and he does all those things. But Ryan Kalkbrenner, what he does around the rim, protecting the rim at over 7 foot tall, or 7 feet tall, rather. I think they're being undervalued. Baylor Shireman will shoot some from the logo in the middle of the floor, like deep range, fun to watch. And I think it took a second for Creighton to kind of understand how they were going to play together. But they're really, really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, and Ashworth coming home was really big for this team, especially shooting the three ball. So I feel like that was the nice final piece for them to get to the next level. And when I talked to them in Maui a couple years ago, Shireman told me, I was like, what's the goal? You know what I mean? Like, is it to be the national player of the year? Like, just like generally speaking, he's like, the goal is to get Creighton to a Final Four. Last year, they were this close to getting to a Final Four. You know what I mean? So I just feel like they have a master plan. Greg McDermott signs the extension, commits to Creighton, lets him know that he's going to be there. And I think that's good for the this team and good for the program and good for them to make a run. So number 12, Baylor Shireman. Number 11, we all love him, Bill Murray. He's going to be there. He's going to be watching his son, Luke Murray, coach against everybody in that tough East region. And Luke Murray is one of my favorite coaches in college basketball. But Bill Murray will be a character that counts again. Last year, he was on the court when they won the national championship. So are we excited to see Bill Murray cutaways in the crowd again?
We're probably going to see a bunch more, too. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be over and over and over. No, who doesn't love Bill Murray?
Right.
Great actor. A lot of fun. Just kind of belongs anywhere he's at.
Yeah. And we need him in college basketball. He's always been a college basketball guy, obviously, because of Luke's path. He's been following him all along the way. We've seen him as a fan of Xavier, fan of Louisville, fan of Connecticut. Sure. He's been all over the place.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, we got the top 10. Number 10, he is my sixth man of the year. He is Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. He's been playing some of the best help defense we've seen on the court all year. Shaka is a great leader of men. He's a great, you know, character that counts in college basketball. He has had a lot of people throw shade at him being on the court, but it doesn't seem to matter anymore when it comes to coaches on the court. But what do we think about Marquette, Shaka, and will Tyler Kolek actually play a part in this team making a run in March?
Hey, an oblique is a weird injury.
Right.
Like, how is that going to work with everything? Here's the thing with Shaka, and I'm going to compare it to when we went to go play pickup and my brother was there playing with us. And we let my son, who's seven, who you saw before we started going live.
Right. Wearing his Curry jersey.
We let him kind of play and play defense. And he was 6 years old at the time. And my brother just goes, well, it's not nothing. It's not nothing.
Right.
I'm gonna refer to the same thing with Shaka playing help. The same thing with Shaka somewhat being on the court. It's not nothing.
Right.
So like right. It's yeah. Get off the floor.
Try to drive to the baseline with Shaka Smart down there. Like, he's basically a help defender. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's turned into. So I've laughed a lot at Shaka's expense this year, but he is one of my favorite coaches in college basketball. Continues to be. And if you keep up with just like the Marquette experience, like, they're a very likable team. Like, Cam Jones is a very likable kid across the board. I know Tyler Kolek gets a lot of backlash, but that comes with being one of the best players and being a white guy in college basketball. It's just kind of how it goes. Tyler Hansbrough, JJ Redick, you know, we've seen this Christian Leighton, of course.
I caught a good bit of that shit too. Not that.
Right. Yeah. It happens.
I caught a good bit of that shit too. No, there's something to be said there. No, Shaka. I love Shaka, man. He recruited me to Clemson. Great dude. Great family. His energy is infectious, and his help side is elite.
Yeah, he's got great help side defense. Shout out to Shaka. Number 9, Rick Barnes. There was going to be a lot of talk about Rick Barnes. He has Dalton Connect, who is one of the best players in the country. I think he's going to end up being a lottery pick when it's all said and done. Rick Barnes has the formula. We've seen it before. He had it with Kevin Durant. Unfortunately, that year he lost in the second round to a USC team with Nick Young. We're hoping that doesn't happen again. There's a chance we get a Rick Barnes redemption game, Texas versus Tennessee in the second round. What do we think about this Tennessee team? Do we think this is a year that Rick Barnes can kind of get over the hump? Last year, they beat Duke. That was a big moment. I think that was a big mental hurdle. Can they go even further this year?
You know what's crazy is they've lost two in a row going into this game with St. Peter's. They get a get-right game, which I think they're going to – guys, I'm going to be honest. I think they beat the brakes off of St. Peter's. I don't think that's going to be a close one just because physically they're just going to beat them up. Mm-hmm. After that, you're going to have some big games. And you can't have these big offensive spells where guys just don't score for 5 and 6 minutes, which is what happened against Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. You can't score 15 points in the first 15 minutes of the game. Can't happen. Like, Dalton Connect's going to have to be great. He's going to have to see over some unique defenses in the NCAA tournament. Because I think for the most part, actually I know for the most part, in the SEC, everybody's playing man. Everybody's kind of gearing their stuff around man. In the NCAA tournament, you're going to see different defenses, different things like that. It's not the same. So Dalton Connect's going to have to be an elite decision maker over the next six games if they're able to make it that far. Because I think their offense relies on him almost solely. That's how important he is for the Vols.
they're basically like, please go get us a bucket, Dalton Connect. And I think that there's going to be some teams that throw a lot of matchup zones that'll pick up full court. I mean, Texas is one of those teams that has the athletes to do something like that. And they got a guy in Brock Cunningham who's basically just a bruiser out there. And I feel like that's the kind of guy that could give, you know, Tennessee some trouble, because Tennessee's a very physical team. If you have somebody that tries to match that physicality, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But I am a bit concerned about Tennessee and Rick Barnes, but I hope that they, hopefully because we have this concern and they've lost two in a row, they've had the time to kind of get things together and get things sorted out, because Sakai Ziegler, Vescovi, they have the guard play theoretically, you know what I mean? Like they should be able to do what they need to do. I think they have veterans around Dalton Connect.
Where it's the exact same team from their Sweet 16 team, except they added an on-ball score. And look, they're good enough to make a Final Four. They really are. And with that extra scoring, you know, that they should make a Final Four. They're in Purdue's bracket, right?
Yes, Midwest. Yep. So that could be the 1-2, right, in the Elite Eight. It could be one. Yeah. Something's got to give, right? That's the something's got to give Elite Eight game. It's like either Matt Painter or Rick Barnes got to get over like the March slump, whatever you want to call it. And there's a chance they could do it against each other. So that could be a fun matchup.
The good part about that, Tate, is the fact that Santiago Vescovi is he's a guy who doesn't need to be your main cog. Same with Sakai Ziegler. He needs to be a secondary scorer. And now, like, the Tennessee team fits each other really well. The problem is now they're going into the tournament on 2-game losing streak, which scares the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm. It scares everybody. And it's funny, like, remember in the Elite Eight, Carson Edwards has that incredible game, but he goes against Virginia. Diakite hits the shot, you know what I mean? And Virginia on their way to their redemption title. There's a chance that Purdue could be playing, you know, against Tennessee, you know what I mean? And Purdue's the team that's trying to get their redemption title, and they're trying to get over the hump, and Rick Barnes is the new Matt Painter. We'll see what happens. There's some poetic, you know, combinations there. Number eight, we got Coach Cal. He went around and asked his team what they needed to see to win in the NCAA tournament. He has done some fun exercises. He has started a podcast where he had Barack Obama on and they picked the bracket. He is doing everything he can to conjure up the magic that we saw, you know, back in 2010, 2012 range. What do we think about this Calipari team and Kentucky? They're going up against Greg Campy in Oakland in the first round.
Hey, look, there's a lot of teams that can hold you and slow the game down to the 50s. There's a lot of teams that can do that. There's not a lot of teams that can score 120 points. And Kentucky can do that. That's what fires me up and keeps me optimistic about this Kentucky team. I just thought it was so funny, man. He comes into the NCAA tournament. We're going to make a couple of tweaks. Going to make a couple of tweaks. Which is just so on par. It's great.
What is the point of starting? What is the point of starting behind the eight ball? Like, they basically do like the tortoise and the hare game, where like they start these guys, they get behind, then they put in Reed Shepard and Dillingham and try to catch up. It's very strange.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I really don't get it. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Big Z play the four, which, hey guys, he's huge, sure, but he's more of a four than he is an American five. He's a European five, which is an American four. Like a step out, shoot it, pass it, skilled guy. Don't be surprised if you see him at the four a good bit, but I don't think it changes the way they play. I just, for the life of me, all season long, I'm with you, Tate. I cannot figure out why the heck that Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham aren't starting. But, you know, Cal gets paid a lot more than we do.
And I think he's got also a lot of, you know, handshake deals that he has to honor on the back end, which has always been a very funny thing about Calipari in general. We saw in 2015 with the platoon system, which was the greatest like redirection of I've already promised these certain guys that they're going to start. So Devin Booker's coming off the bench. So, you know, it's classic vintage Coach Cal. And I think he's going to be having a fun time in this NCAA tournament. I think they could make a run. So there you go. Number eight. Number seven. This is a simple one. Houston superfan Jim Nance. I think Jim Nance is going to be at the games. I think he's going to be pulling for Houston. I think he'll be in Dallas when Houston is there. So Jim Nance will not be calling the games, but he will be a character that counts this year. We will see him in the crowd, and we will see him enjoying Houston, and they'll have like 81 golf Houston. They'll act like he's just a former athlete in the crowd, and I think it's going to be great stuff. So Jim Nance, are you excited to see him just be a fan, just be one of us?
You know what would be hilarious? If Tony Romo also came, and then every time that Jim Nance was put on camera, Tony Romo just popped his head up and then blocked the American scene, just like he did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, he's like, I'm not done yet.
That'd be so perfect. Yeah, you have an elite call in the Super Bowl, and Tony Romo screws it up royally. Just complete butchering of TV
just
etiquette.
Just talks over it. The whole moment. Yeah, it's Kevin Harlan's nightmare.
Shut the hell up, Tony Romo. God, remember, that was terrible.
Remember Harlan last year when Furman hit the shot against Virginia, he was like, please don't say anything. Just let us sit in this moment. And it was he was actually upset they caught it on camera, but it was such a great moment to be like, sometimes in sports, saying nothing is better than trying to say something. You know what I mean? Especially when you don't even know what to say.
As a guy who does a ton of games, it's a hard thing to master. Like, shut your mouth. If the crowd's really into it, make a dunk or something, initial enthusiasm, let the crowd tell it. And then get the hell away. Nobody told Tony how stupid he sounded.
Well, I think we just did right here on FanDuel TV. So we love that.
I'll do it again. He was awful. Sorry.
It was not good. It was not good. But hopefully we let the moments breathe in March Madness. We're almost there. Top five. This is number six before we get to top five. This is something that I don't think anyone's keeping an eye on. But Marcus Paige, a guy who hit one of the most famous shots in college basketball history until Chris Jenkins hit the most famous shot right after it. Marcus Paige is on the bench first year with North Carolina. He is basically mentoring Elliot Cadeau over there. He went to Houston. He lost in the national championship game. The next year, North Carolina goes and wins the national championship in Phoenix. He and Bryce Johnson are not on that team. This year, the Final Four is back in Phoenix. He's mentoring the point guard of North Carolina, and he is going to try to win a national championship that he thought that he got slighted from back in 2016 in Houston. So Marcus Paige is a character that I feel like as North Carolina, if they do make a run, as they get into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, it will be more and more of a talking point of Marcus Paige's inclusion on this team. And he has a big, big pivotal role with this group, especially with Elliot Cadeau. So Marcus Paige, did you even know he's on staff? I've had a lot of people say I had no idea. So I think that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew he was on staff. It's crazy how, you know, 4.5 seconds can change the trajectory of your life and how it's viewed.
Right. Because
that's what happened in that Villanova game. Like, he hit one of the biggest shots in college basketball history, and everybody just remembers Chris Jenkins.
That's how the game goes. And Marcus is one of the, even when people talk about like point guards, I know he became more of a shooting guard by, you know, the last 2 years of his career at Carolina. Joel Berry kind of slotted in at the point, but when you talk about Carolina guards, I feel like he's one of those guys that people forget about. And he's done a great job with Elliot Cadeau. I mean, if you see every time Elliot comes out, he sits next to Marcus, and Marcus basically is doing like a master class. Like, here's what happened. Here's what they're doing. Here's why they called that. You know what I mean? So it's been a very pivotal piece for North Carolina, and Elliot Cadeau is the reason why they could make a run. All right, top five, another former Carolina guard, Caleb Love. There has been a lot of conversation about Caleb Love's redemption game. Arizona, the 2 seed in the West, they could, in theory, play North Carolina in the Elite Eight in Los Angeles to go to the Final Four. They got a fun team there at Arizona. Tommy Lloyd has done great in the regular season, still trying to, only 3 tournament wins so far, but he again is a 2 seed here. What do we think about Caleb Love's redemption tour? Is it possible? Do we see the vision?
It's there. It could certainly happen, but
it's possible.
It's possible. Arizona fans are kind of finding out what North Carolina fans have known for the past couple of years, where it's
an experience,
feast or famine. Most of the time this year, though, he's been much better as far as shot selection. His percentages are way up from last season. Tommy Lloyd's told him to be quiet a couple times. Like, it's I think that marriage has been better for everybody involved. Arizona, North Carolina, it's just worked out splendidly for both parties.
Yeah, and I like Caleb, Pac-12 Player of the Year, RJ Davis, ACC Player of the Year. It's kind of one of those things where both guys go their separate paths and they find their way. And it was the issue the entire time at Carolina. You had 2 shooting guards trying to play point guard, which doesn't work in college basketball. It can work in the NBA. It doesn't work in college basketball so much. Number four, he is the back-to-back National Player of the Year, Zach Edey of Purdue. He obviously causes a lot of controversy with the foul calls, and it's really hard to officiate what he does on a basketball court, but he is a giant, a literal real life giant. He is a mythical figure, really, on a basketball court. What do we see for Zach Edey, and can he kind of, one Sweet 16, he can kind of stamp his legacy by making a run to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think they will. I think this is the year that Purdue finally does it. There's a picture on Purdue Senior Day where it's like Zach Edey beside Mason Gillis, and Mason Gillis beside what's that big guard's name that's from Pennsylvania? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they're all standing beside each other And it's like he towers over these guys. He makes them look 6 foot tall. Mason Gill is listed, what, 6'7"?
Yeah.
And he makes him look small. He is a mountain of a man. What was it that the glider used to say? He's a mountain masquerading as a man. And he is that big. He's that strong. He moves his feet, which is something that, like, there's a couple that, like, Big Ten fans are complaining about him. Like, you can't penalize him just for being big.
Yeah.
Like, I understand your guys are smaller. Like, quit bitching. Like, he's just bigger. He moves his feet. He plays legal. Like, it's just bigger than your guys. And as a result, your guys just bounce off of him, which is, that's part of the game. It's the reason Shaq was so great. That's the reason Kareem was so great. Bill Walton. Like, they're just bigger. They're stronger. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's part of basketball. Sorry, guys.
And you got to have bodies to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it comes down to. You have to have the clientele and the depth to deal with it, or the moxie to figure it out. I mean, the smallest team last year in the NCAA tournament was FDU. The tallest team, obviously, was with Zach Edey. And the smallest team beat the tallest team because they had a better strategy than most teams. And I think that's why Tobin Anderson got so much credit last year. I mean, he did a great job coaching. So there are ways to beat the giant, but, you know, it's not going to be easy. And I think a lot of people get frustrated by that. But Zach Edey, an incredible figure in college basketball, an all-timer because he's going to be back-to-back player of the year. So obviously something that we're going to all be watching. Number three is not even in the men's tournament, but I know we're all going to be talking about her. Caitlin Clark, she gets a tough draw. LSU's a 3 seed in the region, so they're going to have to go. UCLA's the 2 seed. They're going to have a tough draw. But Caitlin Clark is, she has kind of superseded the Zach Edey conversation, even on the men's side when we talk about stars in college basketball. So she's number three. Number two, the thank God for Kim Kardashian. There was a lot of players that I wanted to talk about, and luckily for me, Kim Kardashian signed them all to Skims deals. So the Skims All-Stars are number two. And if you didn't see this, Rob Dillingham of Kentucky, Jared McCain of Duke, Hunter Dickinson of Kansas, Paxson Wojcik of North Carolina, the biggest upset of all, Donovan Klingon of Connecticut, Dalton Knecht, Zakai Ziegler, Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, LJ Cryer, Fletcher Lawyer, Ryan Dunn, Joe Girard, Gerard Lucas of Nevada, Tyson Dagenhart of Boise State are all Skims guys for the NCAA tournament, which means we can put them all at number two, and now we can talk about all these guys throughout their run. So thank you so much, Kim Kardashian. What did you think when you first saw the slam cover of these guys all in Skims? I mean, did that just break your brain a little bit? Because it was hilarious.
It's a weird thing. It's underwear. Like, it's just a weird thing. Like, you want to talk about an all-time package deal, the Bacot-Wojcik combo to get a Skims deal is high level. That's a negotiating on Bacot's part. Let's put it that way.
I love that. Shout out to TJ Besner for making that possible. Yeah, Armando and RJ just like they just took the Skims deal, but then they somehow got Paxson on the cover of the Slam magazine. And apparently it was like last year they were on Sports Illustrated, and obviously, you know, they recreated the image with Dean Smith. They end up not making the tournament. So I've heard that there's some superstition where like they didn't want to be on a magazine cover again, which is very funny that they were like, okay, Paxson, you go suit up there and you get on the cover. So I thought it was actually a sly move, especially when you got the other blue bloods on the cover. So shout out to the Skims All-Stars. All right, we got to number one. Number one on the board, the number one character, he is a maniac of his own making. He has been a guy that is around college basketball, a name in college basketball, not that Hurley, but this Hurley. He is the head coach of the defending national champions, Dan Hurley. He has had quite an electric season. He has asked multiple fans to come down and fight him if they so want, if they so choose. He has won a lot of basketball games. He's running one of the most efficient offenses in the country, and his team just has a lot of fight, a lot of toughness, and they just keep coming in waves. What do we think about Dan Hurley, and what do we expect to see? Is there a chance that Dan Hurley can repeat for the first time since 07?
Yeah, there's a mega chance. Elite painter, Danny Hurley. Who's taking up painting in the
loves
off-season.
Painting.
He's a painter in his downtime. He's ready to fight fans in game time. So he has been look, Dan's great. He's one of my favorites. Love seeing him. His energy is infectious. He is a crazy person, but I mean that in the most loving way possible. That's how these guys are wired. They're super competitive. It drives them for 36 game days a year or 40 game days a year. And think about how lopsided these guys' lives are. Think about this. For 356 days a year, whatever it is, leap year, whatever. And they have 40 game days, 40. And that's if you play in the national championship game. You have to be an insane person. So, no, he is a lot of fun to watch. He's entertaining. He's a basketball genius. He's figured a lot of things out. He's figured out what's successful in March too, which is a lot of fun. So I do think they have as good a chance as we've seen since Florida to repeat.
Mm. Yeah, and I feel like Villanova was the one that a lot of people thought in 2017 they could repeat. They ended up running into that 1-8 game. Nigel Hayes had that nice little baseline move for Wisconsin to get the upset. I feel like if you're Connecticut, the game that they should be circling and worrying about the most is that 8-9 game. I feel like that's the one that trips up the reigning, you know, national champs, the number one seed. That's the one that always gets you, because there's usually a very talented power team that's there at 8 or 9. So I would watch out for that. They could get FAU this year. It turns out that actually was the 1B. There's really one star of college basketball. We all know his name. He is the 1A. He is, of course, TV Teddy Valentine. He is back in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2019. Yes, that is correct. Teddy Valentine will be working the NCAA tournament. Back in 2021, he had a positive COVID test. He did not want to leave the bubble because he wanted to officiate the Sweet 16 game. And then he basically got shadow banned for the next 2 years, but he is officially back. So the number one character in this tournament is TV Teddy Valentine. Terrence, what say you? Are you excited to see TV Teddy back on the sidelines?
What region is he in? You have any idea?
I mean, he's going to be, God knows. I don't have his assignments yet, but yeah, he will be. I mean, let's hope he has Purdue. You know what I mean? Let's hope he has some game where it's going to be controversy.
Let's hope he has UConn. Could you imagine TV Teddy and Dan Hurley going at it? You want to talk about 1A and 1B?
That's
if
right.
They have the same game? Holy cow. That would be electric. Could you imagine him turning his back on Dan Hurley like he did Joel Berry? Do you remember when he did that?
Oh,
insane. That would be, if he did that to Dan Hurley, that was, Dan Hurley would come unhinged. He would become unhinged. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to talk to him. Oh, that'd be great. You know, talking about characters.
I think Dan Hurley versus Auburn in the Sweet 16 with TV Teddy on the call would be electric, because Bruce Pearl is the man who invented character counts with the ultimate two characters there. That's the kind of matchup we love to see. So it's going to be a fun run in March. I'm very excited. The transfer portal is open, so we get all the transfer portal news as well. So there's a lot of college basketball out there. T.O., where can we find all your work for March Madness? And thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, of course. At T_Oglesby22, T_OGLESBY22. I'll be making picks, talking nonsense, and then going back and forth with fans. So that'll be fun. It's the best time of year. We got 3 weeks worth of it. We're going to squeeze every bit of juice out of this orange. So I think it's going to be a fun time to be alive. I'll be in Las Vegas, close to you.
Yeah, the juice is worth the squeeze. We will be in Vegas together for the first round. We will link up, and Cousin Sal will be there as well. Kyle will be there. So we're going to have a great trip. We appreciate everybody tuning in to One Shining Podcast. For myself and Terrence, go enjoy the madness, and we will see you later in the week. Thanks again to our friends at FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.